I don't care what you say, just stir them a bit. Soothe them a little. That's all I ask. Then what? Then I shall proceed to save them and us. Sam nodded slowly. When you put it that way, but I'm a little out of shape when it comes to this sort of thing. Sure, I'll find me a couple truths and throw in a few pieties, but make it 20 minutes. 20 minutes, then. And afterward we pack. Tomorrow we leave for Kaipur. So soon? Asked Tak. Yama shook his head. So late, he said. The monks were seated upon the floor of the refectory. The tables had been moved back against the walls. The insects had vanished. Outside, the rain continued to fall. Great-souled Sam, the enlightened one, entered and seated himself before them. Ratri came in dressed as a Buddhist nun and veiled. Yama and Ratri moved to the back of the room and settled to the floor. Somewhere, Tak too was listening. Sam sat with his eyes closed for several minutes, then said softly, "I have many names, and none of them matter." He opened his eyes slightly then, but he did not move his head. He looked upon nothing in particular. "Names are not important," he said. "To speak is to name names, but to speak is not important. A thing happens once that has never happened before. Seeing it, a man looks upon reality. He cannot tell others what he has seen. Others wish to know, however, so they question him, saying, 'What is it like, this thing you have seen?' So he tries to tell them. Perhaps he has seen the very first fire in the world. He tells them, 'It is red like a poppy, but through it dance other colors. It has no form like water flowing everywhere. It is warm like the sun of summer, only warmer. It exists for a time upon a piece of wood, and then the wood is gone, as though it were eaten, leaving behind that which is black and can be sifted like sand. When the wood is gone, it too is gone. Therefore, the hearers must think reality is like a poppy, like water, like the sun, like that which eats and excretes. They think it is like to anything that they are told it is like by the man who has known it. But they have not looked upon fire. They cannot really know it. They can only know of it. But fire comes again into the world many times. More men look upon fire. After a time, fire is as common as grass and clouds and the air they breathe. They see that, while it is like a poppy, it is not a poppy. While it is like water, it is not water. While it is like the sun, it is not the sun. And while it is like that which eats and passes wastes, it is not that which eats and passes wastes, but something different from each of these, apart or all of these together. So they look upon this new thing, and they make a new word to call it. They call it fire. If they come upon one who still has not seen it, and they speak to him of fire, he does not know what they mean. So they in turn fall back upon telling him what fire is like. As they do so, they know from their own experience that what they are telling him is not the truth, but only a part of it. They know that this man will never know reality from their words, though all the words in the world are theirs to use. He must look upon the fire, smell of it, warm his hands by it, stare into its heart, or remain forever ignorant. Therefore, fire does not matter. Earth and air and water do not matter. I do not matter. No word matters. But man forgets reality and remembers words. The more words he remembers, the cleverer do his fellows esteem him. He looks upon the great transformations of the world, but he does not see them as they were seen when man looked upon reality for the first time. Their names come to his lips, and he smiles as he tastes them, thinking he knows them in the naming. The thing that has never happened before is still happening. It is still a miracle. The great burning blossom squats, flowing upon the limb of the world, excreting the ash of the world, and being none of these things I have named, and at the same time all of them. And this is reality, the nameless. Therefore, I charge you, forget the names you bear. Forget the words I speak as soon as they are uttered. Look, rather, upon the nameless within yourselves, which arises as I address it. It hearkens not to my words, but to the reality within me, of which it is part. This is the Atman, which hears me rather than my words. All else is unreal. To define is to lose. The essence of all things is the nameless. The nameless is unknowable, mightier even than Brahma. Things pass, but the essence remains. You sit, therefore, in the midst of a dream. Essence dreams it a dream of form. Forms pass, but the essence remains, dreaming new dreams. Man names these dreams and thinks to have captured the essence, not knowing that he invokes the unreal. These stones, these walls, these bodies you see seated about you are poppies and water and the sun. They are the dreams of the nameless. They are fire, if you like. Occasionally, there may come a dreamer who is aware that he is dreaming. He may control something of the dream stuff, bending it to his will, or he may awaken into greater self-knowledge. If he chooses,